God's house, around God's people, speaking to the one who made us, who created us, who provides everything that we have, everything that we need. We worship God today because he is who he says he was. And we worship God because of what he's done and who he is. We're going to sing together. We crown you. Some of the circumstances that we face, we've decided to go with your perspective and your eternal view. We ask you to help us worship that way in Jesus' name. Amen. one thing. The same God who never fails will not fail me now. He won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. Is working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. When I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all. Choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. There's nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. Cause nothing can stand against. I choose to praise, to glorify. Your name. Oh, yes, I will live for joy when my heart is heavy for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will.
Would you be seated? But as you sit, say, yes, I will.
You guys sound great today, and I'm excited for this morning. I'm excited as I look forward to next week as we get to celebrate Surge Day again. And this morning, we're actually going to be wrapping up our All Access Pass series, where we've been taking a look at all the things that happen in our life because God has given us access to Himself. At His invitation, we've been invited to step into a relationship with Him, to discover Him and an intimacy with Him, and all of that means. And so today, we're going to kind of wrap that series up. But it dawned on me as I was going through notes, you know, one of the things that happens when you're a speaker, or when you stand in front of people and speak, is that you put together thoughts. I mean, if you're around here enough, I'll tell you guys stories along the way to illustrate things and stuff like that. And it dawned on me as I was getting ready this week and kind of studying that when I was getting ready to share with you, that this morning I might be sharing with you the worst story I've ever told. Now, and I know for some of you that's really hard to believe, because you know you kind of take inventory, and I mean, you know, and some of you have heard me a lot, and for me to actually make that statement, boy, this is the worst story I've ever told. That's huge. Well, and I appreciate that vote of confidence, but you know I don't want you to get too excited, because see, and now that I've said that, two things are going on in your head. This story might be so bad that you will never forget it, which is really bad. Or it might be so bad, you'll be thinking to yourself, why did he even tell that? And you're not going to hear anything else I say. So see, there's an incredible amount of pressure on me today to tell this story so that you will hear it and understand the meaning behind it, what I wanted. And so I've really been nervous about it all week. I've really been just in angst about it. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, why in the world are you even going to tell the story if it's such a big deal? Well, the reason is because it's such a big deal. And so this is a story that must be told. It's a story that's screaming to be told. It's a story that your life won't be complete until I share it with you, and my life won't be complete until I have the opportunity to share it with you. I mean, this is a story. And I'm gonna share it with you, but not now. I'm going to share it with you after I pray and we sing again, and it will be the first story that I tell when we start the Bible study this morning. And it's bad. And I'm going to stand back there and agonize over telling it. And that's why we don't give you a microphone. And so I'm going to agonize over it. Just ponder in your heart the impact of the story that could be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us opportunities to celebrate. We thank you for the words that we've already been able to lift in praise to you, and we thank you for the chance that we have to come into your presence and know that we are among friends, and to realize that we are loved, and that love changes everything. Today, as we continue to sing, I pray that the songs that we sing would be the cry of our heart, that they would be expressions of praise to you. And Heavenly Father, I also pray that as we move into your word, that we would discover some things in your word that would remind us again of how important the access is that you've given to us, and how that changes everything, not just today, but for always. And so, Lord, be with us through this time of celebration, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
His love. place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. Would you be seated?
Once upon a time, there was a girl named Darling who had a particularly rough childhood because of her uncommon name, Darling. She always got a lot of teasing at school. Eventually, she overcame her hang-up and married her high school sweetheart. After a few years of marriage, their first child was born, and she named the baby girl Love. Inspired in the same spirit as her unique name. And unfortunately, sadly, tragically for Love, she grew up and endured much of the same teasing that Darling had because of her strange name. One day she had had absolutely enough. She came home from school and she screamed at her dad and asked him why he gave her such a ridiculous name. And the dad took it. He took full bore of her anger and decided to protect his wife, and he apologized. But Love wasn't done. In a fit of rage, Love rummaged around the house. She found a dart gun. She shot her father with a dart gun and ran away. Minutes later, Darling came home and found her husband lying on the ground. "What happened?" she said as she ran over to him, and he waved her closer, and he whispered to her, "Shot with a dart, and you're to blame. Darling, you give Love a bad name." I told you it was bad. I told you it was bad. We had to go a long way to get there, but I told you it was bad. Now, at the end of the day, it is up to you to figure out whether the joke and the story lived up to the hype or whether it didn't. It's up to you to decide whether it lived up to the billing or it didn't. It's up to you to decide whether it's something you're going to remember or something you'll forget or something you thought was a waste of time. But here's the point. Most things in life aren't worth the buildup, not worth the hype. And a lot of times what we get excited about and what we think something is going to be, when we finally get to the moment, it's never that thing. And we spend a lot of our life spinning in frustration because things in life don't usually live up to the hype. And here's some great news for you, and what I want to share with you today as we kick off this final study in the All Access series. Everything that I've told you about God, He lives up to the hype. He doesn't disappoint. He doesn't let us down. He doesn't fail us. God lives up to the hype. And we spend a lot of time in life where we're going to experience things time and time again that don't live up to the hype, but at the end of the day, God will always come through. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you have your worship flyer, you've already seen the title, and the title is simple. It's worth it. It is worth it. And we're going to go to Titus chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We don't spend a lot of time in the book of Titus. Most of you will have to figure out where Titus is. But go to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And follow along as I read these. And then we're going to unpack some of these verses and talk about a couple of things that remind us why it is worth doing and being and becoming this person that Jesus has created us to be. It says, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, of faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. It's Paul. He is writing to a friend, an associate, and he's wanting to say some things to Titus that will encourage and help him, but he begins with these short words that are loaded with a deep dose of truth about eternal life and about who Jesus is and what he came to do. And in there, we find some things that we come back to finish up our All Access series with, because it's loaded into these verses, and all of them are important for you to have, because as we start living and fleshing out being this best version of ourselves, the person that God has called us to be, we need to remember these things. And so if you have your worship flyer, you know where we're going. The first thing I want you to simply see is I want you to see an All Access hope. An All Access hope. We find that in verse 2. The phrase that's used there is resting on the hope of eternal life. The Greek word used there for eternal is a word that is pronounced in English, and I'll do it very badly, aionos, which simply means that there's an eternity that this Greek word is talking about that can only be attributed to God and God alone. In other words, the only way in the Greek that this word is going to be used is by tagging it to God. And so there is an eternity that is available to you and to me when we tap into and hang on to the creator of the universe, and there's no other place to find it. So in other words, you have an eternity, an eternal life that is available to you because he has opened the door and given you access, and that access gives you hope and allows you then to live a life that he has set up for you, that he has scripted for you. In other words, you get to share in a life that God has created for you. And you do that because he's given you all access. That means when you got up this morning, that there was a life that was scripted for you, that you have an opportunity to live, that God has given you because he loves you. And he has something important for you to do with your life. And he has something vital for you to do with your life. And there's a hope now that you can move through your day with, knowing that you don't live a life that's in vain, that you don't live a life that's not worth living, and that you don't have a life that's unfolding before you that is a waste of time. That gives to you an optimism. It gives to you a desire to face each day. And it gives you a reason to get up in the morning. God, because he has given you this hope of eternity, an eternity that begins in the moment that you begin your relationship and walk with him. The minute that you decide to believe, trust, and follow him, you are now living in eternal life. And so that means that everything that you do, every place that you go, you're just taking another step into this eternity that God has for you. And the places that you go, you can touch and change the world with the love of Christ, and you're creating a little bit of heaven on earth, even in bad situations and bad circumstances, because of who Jesus is and what he's done. That's the hope that drives you through each day. From his hospital bed on the evening of facing open-heart surgery, Pastor Bruce McIver asked his cardiologist, Dr. Dudley Johnson, "Can you fix my heart?" Now, Dr. Dudley Johnson is a great physician, but he was known for his horrible bedside manner as well. He was short and to the point. And so when the pastor asked him, "Can you fix it?" he said a one-word answer, "Sure." And he turned and he walked out of the room. That was it. That was all the bedside encouragement he got. The next morning, very early, they begin the surgery. At the end of the 12-hour surgery, he began to come through, and he came through it as he came out of recovery. He finally saw his doctor again. So this time McIver asked Johnson the following question: "In light of the blocked arteries that I had when I checked into the hospital, how much blood supply do I now have?" And once again, the doctor's bedside manner came through and he said, "All you'll ever need." That was the answer he got. No more, no less. He continued to recover. After quite a few more days in the hospital, he was discharged. And MacIver's wife, Juan, asked the doctor on their discharge the following question: what about my husband's future quality of life? And again, Dr. Johnson paused and this time took a little extra time. And instead of answering just a few words, answered with a complete sentence. And he looked back at her and said, "I fixed his heart. The quality of his life is up to him." I want you to hear me very carefully. Jesus has fixed your heart. The quality of your life is up to you. See, if you've come to the point where you've made the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus, he's done the heart fix that needed to be done. The quality of life you're living, oh, that's on you. See, and a lot of times we make it on God because we're still wanting God to do more than he's already done. But here's the deal. As I read Scripture, he's done plenty. He's done all that he needed to do for me and you, and he continues to bless us, and he continues to do more. I don't know sometimes what we're waiting for God to do. Because he's infused your life with hope. He's given you an opportunity to live each day. He's given you each day as a gift. The quality of life, it's on you. See, a lot of people just spin their wheels and they're waiting for God to do more, to fix something else, to do something else. And you spend your entire life waiting for God to do more than God needs to do, because God's given you what you need, and he's given you what you need for this day, and he's given you what you need for this week, and he's given you what you need for this month, and he will give it to you each day. And he's given you the hope that you can step out and know that God is going to be faithful and God is going to do what God said he would do. What kind of life are you living? Is it the life that you want? And if not, then you have to ask yourself the question, well, is the life that you want the life that God wants? Because sometimes that's not aligned very well. And so the connect point for some is to simply say, God, align my life with what you want it to be. Help me to see the life that you have for me. Let me live the quality of life that you've given me the hope to live. Because your life can have quality because of the hope that he gives. Because people who don't know him, people who don't have a relationship with God, what do they have to get up for each day? If they don't have eternity waiting, what hope is it that they have that gets them up and moving each morning? Oh, they'll find something to chase. We all do. But at the end of the day, you have a hope that allows you to get up and know that each day you're chasing this dream that God has given you, this idea that you can become and you can do more and that you have a purpose and that you can impact the world. He's fixed your heart. The quality of life is up to you. He's given you all access. Don't waste it. Take the hope that he gives and allow it to change who you become. That's the first thing. The second thing I want you to see is also we move forward with hope because of an all-access promise. Verse 2 once again. It says, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Now, I want you to note the phrase, God, who can't lie. He just can't. God can't lie. It's not in his nature. And sometimes you think, well, why does Scripture even state that? Because what it simply means is that God can't lie because he won't. And he won't because he can't. And you can chase that around the tree all day long. But at the end of the day, you have a promise that God is never going to let you down, and he's not lying to you. He's not trying to fool you. He's not trying to hide things from you. He's not trying to make it confusing. Is God mysterious? Sure. Can you understand God? I doubt it. Does the Bible say that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts not our... Yes. But it also says that he dwells within us, and that each day we become a little bit more like him, and he shows us, and he dwells within us, and his spirit guides us. And there's a promise that he gives that we never face any day alone, and there's a promise that he gives that we can hold on to and know that our eternity is secure, and that means that this day is secure in him and who he is. How do you know? Because God don't lie. Well, why doesn't God lie? Because he can't lie. Okay, why can't he lie? Because he don't lie. And there's no one else you can say that about. See, in the Bible, when God has to swear, he swears on himself. He promises on himself. Because he is always faithful. He is always true. He's not lying. And he's made you a promise. And the promise that he has made, and he made it from the beginning of your existence, is that you could have an eternity that rests in him. And that you could have a life worth living because of him. And you discover that when you gain access. A few years ago, there was a man by the name of Peter Kuba who ran a website called Heaven's Registry. Now, let me give you the end part of this story before I explain it. Mr. Kuba is now in jail. He's a bad dude. And this was one of a number of things that he has done that made national news. But his Heaven's Registry got him some attention, because for $20, you could go to this website, give him your credit card number, and for $20, he would guarantee you admission into heaven. Now, when it began, the police knew it was a scam. One of the detectives said, "It's a scam, but it's pretty tough to prove that he's wrong." But not just that, but knowing that there was money to be made, if you had a pet that you loved, for $15, you could get a cherished pet certificate to know that your favorite pet would get to spend eternity with you in doggy heaven. When people began hearing about this, obviously people reacted to it. And Heaven's Registry said this, and I'm going to read from the website. "Only God knows what fault will keep you out of heaven. Picking a flower in the park, eating a grape in the market without paying for it, breaking the law by speeding or going through a stop sign, using God's name in vain, or many, many more. But now the specter of uncertainty can be lifted, and you can be 100% guaranteed for heavenly admission, because now you'll have a certificate. And there's no need for confession or repentance." Well, it was a scam. Eventually, his other sins caught up with him. He now rests in jail. Heaven's Registry today is shut down. But there's a lot of folks out there that are looking for that quick ticket to get into heaven. This guy was just a scammer who decided to monetize it. And while it's funny, and when you hear it, you think, boy, why would anybody ever do that? But the reality is, boy, for $20, if you can get into heaven, wouldn't you do it? See, because he tapped into a need that we all have, whether we admit it or not. See, even people who really don't want to have anything to do with God, they hope there's a heaven. They hope that there's something beyond this life. They hope that there's an eternity where good people can go and just keep being good. Now, that doesn't make any sense if you start thinking about it. But at the end of the day, there are people who are on this quest who have decided that they know enough, that they're smart enough, and they've got the world figured out enough to know that when they die and they leave this place, this planet, whatever this is, this existence, that there is somewhere that they can go and they can experience something good because they were a good person. You're going to meet people today that think that. And if you want to push them on the God thing, what's going to happen is they'll push back on you sometimes. Because see, this whole God thing, it becomes very difficult for us, because when I came to know Jesus, when I decided to believe, trust, and follow him, I had to make an admission about my life, that I was a sinner, that I couldn't make it on my own, and that I needed a Savior. And my statement that I believe and trust and follow Jesus, I believe what God's word says about him is true. I trust that he's God. that he died on the cross, paid a penalty for my sins, took the sting of death so that I could have eternal life, offered to me eternal life, and I have to follow him. It's called God in my life. But understand, by making those statements, I basically had to say, I can't control my destiny. I need God. And I've been around a lot of people. I've been around a lot of smart people. And I got news for you. I don't want them controlling my destiny. And the smartest people I've known that thought they can control their own destiny, they can't. But yet, we always want to hedge our bets. And yet here we come to a passage of Scripture where there's a promise that's made, and the promise is there, and it's simply that God, who does not lie, has made us a promise. And you can't know that until you take advantage of the access he gives. There's a life that is living and waiting for us to live out that can only be embraced when we make the decision to believe and trust and follow Jesus. How do we know it's true? Because God said so. How do we know what God says is real? Because he can't lie. Well, why can't God lie? How do I know God can't lie? Because he said so. And you have to decide to deal with that. You have to decide that that's okay. You have to decide to believe it. You have to decide to believe it when we live in a world where people go, well, if God is a good God, he'd never send anybody to hell. God never sends anybody to hell. He never does. Next time you hear that, just shake your head, be as kind as you can, and correct the bad thinking. God has never sent anybody to hell. Everybody that goes to hell chooses to go there. That's it. They choose to go there. They have a choice. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. How do we know? Because God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Well, how do we know that? Because God don't lie. Well, how do we know he doesn't lie? Because he's God. He can't. He's not negotiating. He's not hiding it. He's not making it overcomplicated. He lays it out, and it's as simple as this. I love you. You have a choice. You can believe it, or you don't have to believe it. And you can push back against it all you want. And you know what? God lets you. Most of the people I've met that push back against God, they've not been hit by a lightning bolt. They've not gotten zapped by a tube before. God lets them push back. Because God operates out of love. He operates out of grace. He kind of moves through our world that way. But he gives you a choice. What are you going to do? He's made a promise. He's guaranteed it. You have to choose. You have to decide. Are you going to live the life that you were created to live? And quit making excuses for why you can't. Hold on to the hope that he gives. And latch on to the promise that he gives. Because when that happens for you, then you have something to share. Which brings me to the all-access message. The last thing. Verse 3. And at his appointed season, he brought his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. Interesting phrase in the verse. It says, in due time. Some translations will say, in his own good time. What we're reminded of as you look at that is that all of human history was preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. That means that timing is God's and God's alone. You can't change his timing. Our role, our call is to share, nudge, be a light in the world of darkness, do our best to point others toward him, try to live our lives in such a way that we make an impact and we trust God for the results. The message that we share is good news. It's what the world needs to hear. Because it's a message of hope. It's a message of promise. It's a message of change. And when you come to know Christ, the great news is that the answer to the question that so many people have in the darkness of the night when they start thinking to themselves, how much time do I have left? How long do I have? The answer is, if you know Jesus, forever. You never have to worry about that again. That's the message that Paul came proclaiming. That's the message that he told Titus that you're to share. And that's the message that you and I share, simply because we've been given all access. God has opened up the kingdom for us. And he simply said, you are my child. I want you to live the life that you were created to live. Eternal life is your promise. Eternal life is your hope. Eternal life is the message that you have to share. And eternity happens now, because you're living it today. This is just another step forward in eternity for you if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And that means it changes everywhere you go. And the people that get caught up in the wake of your life are going to be forever different, because you're living with a purpose, you're living with a passion, you're living with a freedom that the rest of the world desperately, desperately longs for and desperately, desperately needs to see. And when we live our lives well, we give them a glimpse of a God who always lives up to the hype, no matter what. Rebecca O'Connor works the night shift at New York Presbyterian Hospital. A few years ago, after the Asian tsunami disaster, she felt compelled to do something, and so she did. She flew to Sri Lanka along with 8 other medical professionals for a 2-week medical relief mission trip. Arriving, they traveled 150 miles through destruction before they arrived in a downtown area that had completely been devastated. And they set up their clinic in the remnant of what was left of a downtown Sri Lanka church. And they saw 40 to 100 patients every shift that she worked. And they would come in with respiratory problems, foot and leg wounds that were caused mostly by stepping on the debris that had been displaced or moved as they were kind of trudging through water. And O'Connor said others soon discovered that they were there. And the people kept coming, and every day the crowds got bigger. But after they got there, they realized that people were actually bypassing other clinics and other hospitals to come to where they were. Sometimes they would travel as far as 3 or 4 miles past other places where they could get medical attention to come to the place where they were. And finally, toward the end of the 2 weeks, they'd try to figure out why. And so they ask. And what they heard time and time again, why are all you people coming to us? They said simply this: because at the hospital, someone asks name, age, and complaint. They give us a sheet of paper and tell us to go sit down and wait. But here, we sit down, and you listen to us, and we tell you what's wrong, and you treat us. And you hear our stories of destruction. You see pictures of our family. And you listen to how our lives used to be. And you hear about our loved ones that we've lost. And you hear about our hope for the future. You're not just treating us, you're listening to us. You have a heart that cares. That's what happens in your life when you make the decision to take advantage of the access that God gives. When you tap into the message, you begin to have a heart that cares. And your shift goes from living the life that so consumes you about yourself, and it begins to turn toward God and others. Because it's easy to hear a story like that and go, yeah, I just want someone to care about me. Someone does. His name is Jesus. And because he cares, everything changes. And when you make the decision to go all in for him, and you make that decision to believe, trust, and follow him, then all of a sudden you discover that someone does care about you. And the call that he places on your life is to care about others. And your priority shift, and your heart changes, And you discover that there's a life that is beyond yourself, that is enough to get you up in the morning and moving through the day, because you have a hope that drives you forward. You have a promise that you are secure in, and you have a message to share with a world that needs to hear it. So what do you do with it? Now what? Through each week of this series, we have talked about the fact that because of what God does for us, we can live our lives differently. And I would certainly remind you of all those things that we've said to this point, but the now what here is much simpler than that, and it's simply this. Don't settle for less than the life that God has for you. Start living your life with the hope that He gives. Hang on to the promise that He has, and start sharing your life with others. In a very practical sense, it means that you made a decision this morning. When you started the day, did you start the day consumed with all the things that you had to do and all the things that you didn't think were right, or did you start the day being consumed with who God is and what He's done? I mean, not to put anybody on the spot, but when you got up this morning, did you thank Him for another day? I mean, did you wake up and go, oh, Lord, it's morning? Or did you wake up and say, thank you, God, it's morning? Because this morning made it a new day for you to go out and make an impact in the world, and you are a gift to the world from God, believe it or not. Now, when you looked in the mirror this morning, you may have thought, I don't look like a gift. Got it. But you're a gift. And God has decided He wants to share you with the world, and when you go out and you do what you were created to do, others catch a glimpse of Him. What a sweet deal. To know that when I do it right, people don't have to see me, they see Jesus. Wow. Good news for the world. Because He lives up to the hype. You and I never will. We're always going to fail somebody. We're always going to let them down. We're never going to live up to other people's expectations. But here's the great news. You don't have to. You get to live up to God's expectations. And what does God expect? That you love Him and follow Him. And when you love Him and follow Him, you know what you're going to do? You're going to love God and you're going to love others. It is that simple, and it's that profound, and it changes everything. You just have to decide that you're going to do it. Do you want it? Will you become it? Will you bow your heads and hearts? And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the story of You and Your love is huge. Because God, to be honest, in us, You didn't get a lot. We don't live up to the hype. We let others down. We let ourselves down. And yet, each day that You give us is a gift, and we make the choice of how we're going to live it. My prayer for each person in this room that we wouldn't waste it. Lord, there's some who are here this morning, some who will hear this later, some who will watch this later. And they've never made the decision to believe and trust and follow You. And Lord, this can be their day to decide that. As we've already explained, we have to be honest with ourselves and honest with You and realize that we can't make it on our own and that we need a Savior. You're that Savior. No other way. No other way to discover heaven. No other way to discover eternal life. No other way to live the life that we were created to live except through You and You alone. And so God, if someone this morning needs to make that choice, I pray that even now that would be their choice, the decision they make. Lord, if they need help with that decision, I pray that before they would leave this place this morning, They would drop a note in our giving box. They would take a worship flyer and just check the spot that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. They would fire us an email. They would call us. So we can explain and unpack what the decision means and what happens next. Lord, there's others in the room who have made the decision, but sometimes we forget what having access to you really means for our life. And we need a fresh infusion of hope. We need to hold on tightly to the promise. And we need to get serious about sharing the message that you've given us. Let's, Lord, realign our lives, realign our hearts. And help us to make the decision each day, every day, to live the life that you created for us to live and to be satisfied with nothing less. You've done the heavy lifting. You looked at our lives and realized, for whatever reason, that we were worth loving and dying and living for. And we're grateful. Because while we don't live up to the hype, you do. And because your promises are true, we can face each day confident and knowing that we can become the people we were created to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible.